This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
9 o'clock, we'll go around the AFC North. Also, whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo should be sought after by the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I'd have to say yes right now, right? Like, you gotta be kicking the tire.
I know who you could ask about that.
Oh, my goodness. You're right. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome in Odyssey NFL insider Michael Lombardi. He's the host of the GM Shuffle podcast, which you can find on the Odyssey app as well as wherever you get your podcasts. Follow him on Twitter at MLombardiNFL. Michael, thank you very much for the time. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys. Hope all's well.
Should the Browns go after Jimmy Garoppolo right now, Michael?
You know, I wrote a column for VSiN, Vegas Stats and Information Network. I wrote that column back in, about a month ago. And I thought they should then. I mean, just based on all the things that was coming out of the league office, their insistence on wanting to get a year-long suspension. I love Jacoby Brissett. I was in New England when we drafted him. He's got great leadership skills. He's a wonderful person. You know, you can't go wrong with him, but as a backup, it's ideal, 3 or 4 games. But if this is going to be a longer suspension, then I think you could trade for Garoppolo at relatively cheap. The Browns have plenty of cap room to handle his contract and redo his contract. He's willing to take a lower contract. And then, you know, if he plays well and the Browns go to the playoffs, they get a compensatory pick, and then next year they get Watson back.
Well, that's kind of the rationale that we have been laying out about Garoppolo. And obviously, we can't see the medicals. I've seen very limited in the way of him being able to throw the football. But if it is anything like we saw, you know, as recently as last year, where they went on a pretty good run at the end of the season, he ends up getting to the NFC Championship game, the great duel in the snow at Lambeau. I mean, I don't see what's not to like about going and getting Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't either, and it's going to be really cheap, and the kid's willing to redo his contract. And look, what you want all the time is you want a player that has something to prove, right? You want a player that has something that he is, you know, that he's got something at stake. And I think Jimmy wants to get his career back on track. I mean, look, the guy's won a lot of games for the 49ers. He's won a lot of games for Kyle Shanahan. You know, I happen to be in the draft room. We drafted Jimmy, you know, after I left Cleveland, and Jimmy's a great kid. He's got great leadership skills. He's tough. You know, the guy's won 33 NFL games. That's not an easy thing to do. And he's not been durable as much as you would like him to be, but he makes throws down the field. He's tough. His teammates love him. Does he make mistakes? All quarterbacks make mistakes. But I think when you watch him, he's a true starting quarterback, and he's, you know, he would be an improvement for the season over anyone that they could get at this point. And I would think San Francisco would want to trade him to Cleveland because they don't want him to go to Seattle.
Mike Lombardi with us on the hotline. You mentioned Jacoby Brissett at the start that you think would be ideal for a, you know, short sample size. But if it has to be the whole year, what would the Browns be looking at from him? You talked about leadership, but are you as nearly as high on him as maybe you were 4 or 5 years ago? What has changed?
Well, I think the number one thing that Jacoby struggles with when it becomes a drop-back pass game, when he can't utilize play action, when he has to anticipate routes inside, you know, what often disguises quarterbacks and masquerades them as potential great players is this idea, you know, when we watch him in a play action pass game, where they fake a handoff, it separates the defense, and then they throw it to a high-low player, somebody down the field or somebody in the flat. You know, and there's really no anticipation to the throws. You just make the throw. when you're in a drop-back pass game, you've got to throw that in cut, and you got to throw it and trust the receiver's going to be in there because you're throwing it before he breaks into the open. That's an instinct. That's almost what I call a crib thing. Your mama either gives it to you at the crib or you just don't have it. A lot of guys in college football don't have that because of the RPO game. So we see these guys that amass great numbers in college football. When they get to pro, they can't really make the jump because they don't have that great anticipation. They don't have it. It's not instinctive. It's not something you can be taught. Now, Garoppolo's really good on play action. That's what he did most of his career in San Francisco. But he also has great anticipation, and he can make those throws. So, to me, you're limited in the spectrum and the volume of offense that you could run with Jacoby because of that. Because anybody who's been around Jacoby coaches will know that that's going to be the liability, and it happens. And so it's hard. Once defensive coordinators know that's the way it's going to go, then it becomes harder to execute that plan.
Michael Lombardi, host of the GM Shuffle, joining us on the show. I'm going to go back to Jimmy G for just a second. A lot of people have asked us, would Kareem Hunt be a part of a trade package? And I said, frankly, Michael, I don't know. You know, the cap number's big, and I'm frankly thinking, well, I'd rather just trade a pick or even a couple of picks because I don't care about picks for the future anymore than get rid of Kareem Hunt. Where, yeah, I know Kareem Hunt might be a little bit disgruntled here and there, but Jimmy Garoppolo is going to want some weapons. Kareem Hunt's going to be a weapon, right? Or maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead.
No, I don't think it's going to cost you that much to get Jimmy G. Look, they've been trying to trade Jimmy G since February. They've had no nibbles on. Now, part of the problem has been his shoulder. But quarterbacking positions and starting jobs are like musical chairs. Once they're all filled, nobody's looking for another one. So, you know, who's your competition? Carolina's not going to be involved in Jimmy G. Seattle says they're going with Geno Smith, right? Pittsburgh is talked about, you know, Pickett and Mason Rudolph, and, of course, they've got Mitchell Trubisky. So, like, if you're going to trade him, he doesn't want to be a backup. He's not going to go somewhere and take a pay cut to be a backup. So he wants a starting job. So that puts Cleveland in the driver's seat. Plus the fact that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have been trying to trade him for 7 months. They haven't been able to get it. The only reason they're holding on to him now instead of cutting him is because they're waiting for somebody to get an injury. They're waiting for somebody to become desperate. Oh, I lost my starting quarterback. I got to go get one. Much like Minnesota did when they traded for Sam Bradford. That's really what they're waiting for. So to me, you wouldn't have to pay that much. And if you want to talk about Hunt, like, to me, Hunt's a vital part of what they do. The guy only played in 8 games last year. They had 3 running backs that averaged near 5 yards a carry. I think they need all 3 of them. Because what I think we misunderstand about 17 games is it's not playing 17 games. It's how many plays do you play a year, right? So if you play 1,000 plays a year and you play 17 games, okay. If you play 1,000 plays a year and you play 16 games, it's the same, right? It's all the same. You're not playing any more games. You're just playing plays. And so when you have 3 backs like they have, you can rotate the amount of plays and keep guys fresh for the fourth quarter. I would not trade Hunt. I would be just with the Browns that I would say, hey, Kareem, we'll redo your deal. You know, maybe we'll redo your deal. Maybe we'll talk to you after the offseason, but you're on the contract. We're not trading you. Well, we need him to help Nick Chubb be effective in the fourth quarter.
Mike Lombardi, GM Shuffle Podcast, an excellent podcast, definitely in the rotation. He joins us on the hotline. So yesterday, Roger Goodell at the owners' meetings, he ended any of the curiosity about what the NFL truly wants. We'd seen a lot of leaks, but now we heard right from the horse's mouth exactly what Roger Goodell and the NFL wants when it comes to Deshaun Watson. Knowing everything we know today about Watson, knowing what Sue Robinson said, knowing what came out in both discovery, the depositions, just everything to get to this point, Michael, would you have traded for Deshaun Watson? We know that a third of the league attempted to.
Well, they did until the contract, right? They were all involved. And I think that all the teams knew this about the case. I think they've seen the evidence, as Goodell said yesterday. And what he describes as predatory behavior, you know, multiple violations, you know, they were egregious. I think that was a concern. And to then go ahead and guarantee him the entire contract, to me, that would have been something that to go against the policy and the belief and the funding rules of the National Football League, to me, was a huge stretch. Look, I would have been all over drafting Deshaun Watson, and I think you can go back and listen to anything I said about Deshaun Watson coming out. I thought he was a guy who could build your culture. I thought he was a great kid. I thought he was everything the Browns needed in the year they traded the 12th pick to Houston for them to get him. Obviously, his character wasn't what I thought it was. And so I would have been really concerned about that. So I don't think I would have made that move. There's no way.
Well, I find it interesting that so many people are Monday morning quarterbacking it today. I mean, we know, right? Deshaun Watson's going to play eventually. He's going to play. And I don't know. To me, you know, the morals and ethics aside, you know, every team has, quote unquote, number of bad guys. Now, that's not an apology for Watson, as we're still trying to find out and get down to the bottom of what happened in that situation. But if you are Jimmy Haslam, would you rather win with a guy like Deshaun Watson or lose to a guy when you're playing Deshaun Watson?
Well, I don't think that's – I mean, I don't disagree with what you said. Obviously, you know, we're – the business of character is the hardest business to judge, right? But I think what the element that you're missing in that question is, are you going to guarantee – are you going to use him as the $250 million poster child for your franchise? I think that's where you get into a little bit of a really bad area. I don't disagree with you. You know, like if he was willing to do a deal and it was going to be, you know, where you weren't having a guarantee, but to guarantee him his entire contract buttoned up like it is, to me, that's a statement you're making to your locker room. That's a statement you're making to your fan base, you know, and I think that that's really where you get into a little bit of a gray area. I don't disagree with you on certain things. And if he is suspended for a year and he comes back and, you know, he's paid his, he gets a second chance. America's full of people that get their second chances. But, you know, to me, I think this contract, you have to weigh that in and the implications of that contract as it affects the rest of the players in the league and the team.
Would you have kept Baker then?
You know, it's funny. I don't want to sound like a Monday morning quarterback. My son coaches down in Carolina. I like Baker as a player, as a person. I think Baker, and I've said this numerous times on Cleveland radio, Baker's problem is he can't see. He, you know, when he drops back at 6 feet tall and you rush him inside in a drop back pass game, you know, it's hard for him. I thought Kevin did a wonderful job with him 2 years ago when he ran all those play actions, separated the defense and got him on boots and nakeds and got a lot of easy plays for him. But when the game becomes a drop back pass game, Baker really struggles. He gets too many balls tipped. You know, he averages almost 6 balls tipped a game, which is not good. When the ball gets tipped by the defense and they get their hands on it, there's a chance for an interception. So, to me, you know, that draft, I'm quoted as saying, in that draft, I would have taken Quentin Nelson and Bradley Chubb and traded back in the first to get Lamar Jackson. But nobody listens to me, so it didn't really matter.
Michael, you've been around the NFL a long time. You know the ins and the outs of this league. You just referenced one of your kids that is in Carolina. Your other kid is the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, went with McDaniels, someone Browns fans certainly know all about, with the many overtures that they had over the years with bringing in McDaniels to be the head coach. First of all, talk about that just from a, not just an NFL lifer's perspective, but a father's perspective, that you've got these kids in these roles, and one of them now offensive coordinator. That's got to feel pretty special.
Well, I'm really, really ultimately proud of both my children. I mean, my wife deserves a ton of the credit for it, too, because of you know, I wasn't around. And, you know, Josh is a tremendous human being. I think had Josh taken the job in 2014 in Cleveland, I probably wouldn't have gotten fired, but he didn't, and life went on better for me because I won 2 more Super Bowls. So, you know, I think Josh is an outstanding coach, and for my son Mick to be able to work and learn from him and learn with Coach Belichick, who to me is the greatest coach of all, I'm really proud of him. And as a father, you know, you get to sit back, and what you really want to be able to do is you want to be able to watch your children, but also watch them, you know, in a way to where they don't make the same mistakes you made in your career. And so that's the best part about it, you know, and I'm really enjoying that. I love the fact that he has this great opportunity with a great coach, and my other son has a great opportunity working. He's been with Matt Rhule now for a long time, going back to their Baylor days together. So it's fun for me to sit back and watch and root for. You know, not only do I root for my friends, I genuinely root for my children in this, and it makes me really proud.
I don't know if you're getting the inside dirt there from, you know, the situation with your son with the Raiders, but are you feeling better about Derek Carr today than maybe you did a year ago? Do you think they've got a legit shot in the AFC West?
Well, I think I know who Derek Carr is, whether he was there or not. I think if you protect Derek Carr, and you get him a chance to where he's not going to get hit often, and you force him to make plays that are off track, then he's really a good player. But if he gets hit and he gets into that funk, you know, where his eye level sifts down because he got hit, now we got a problem. So, look, they've got some really serious skill players now. You know, one of the things that I think people don't understand, when you have a receiver of the ability of that, of Adams, you know, where the defense has to roll the coverage to him all the time, and then you have a tight end like Waller, who's a huge man who could run really fast. He's almost Randy Moss's as a receiver, the way he plays. So it's going to be like Kelce. You know, Kelce benefited from Tyreek Hill. And everybody rolled the coverage to Tyreek Hill. Like I don't know where Tyreek Hill ranks on Pro Football Focus and all that when you come up. But everybody, defensive coach in the National Football League, scared death of Tyreek Hill because he could take the top off the defense at any moment. So everybody rolls the coverage to Hill, or they played like they did last year, played that soft, everybody deep is deep. And Kelce was the beneficiary of it because he got man coverage and he could beat man coverage. That's going to change. But I think in Las Vegas, they have that dynamic. Hunter Renfrow last season was the best receiver in all of football, percentage of catch. And that's a big number you have to look at. The times the ball's thrown to the receiver and how many times it catch. He was at 82%. Most receivers are in the low 70s, right? And So that number, percentage of catch, is critical. It's really important because if I'm throwing it to you, you know, I want you to catch it 7 out of 10 times. I want to be able to be productive 7 out of 10 times. And Hunter Renfrow was 81%. He converted 42 first downs last year. He'll be almost Cooper Kupp-ish this year. Kupp had 81 first downs last year. I think he'll get a lot of them.
Follow him on Twitter. Listen to his podcast, Michael Lombardi, GM Shuffle Podcast, available on the Odyssey app. Michael, thank you for the time.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it. Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. Michael Lombardi on the hotline, GM Shuffle Podcast, at M Lombardi NFL on Twitter. Great guest. Interesting stuff. I ran out of time. I wanted to ask him why everybody's so down on Mahomes. Yeah, everybody I listen to, they're just like, Mahomes, Kansas City. But James Jones picked him to finish fourth in the AFC West. Mm-hmm. Very rough.
Someone's got to finish fourth.
I know someone's got to finish fourth, but it's like Mahomes, really? Just because what? I know that the fourth quarter wasn't very good against Cincinnati. That's it? That's what we're doing? He lost Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's a good wide receiver. Very good wide receiver. Top five wide receiver. Is he that important? Had some great things to say about Jimmy Garoppolo. At this point, it's how can you not go after Jimmy Garoppolo? Which is the question next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
We're going to talk about Jimmy G here in a second. We'll go around the AFC North at 9. Lyman just said it, and I think he's right. He goes, I know you're going to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo here. We have to mention Jakeem Grant and what it means for this team. Go ahead there, Tone. Do you have a thought? Do you have a prevailing thought?
Yeah, I do, because it's something that we as a show did not talk a ton about, the addition of him. But people around the league were like, that's a good move. That is a good move. That's a two-time consecutive two-time Pro Bowler, somebody who's going to help your anemic return game.
Other than Josh Cribbs, we've been terrible.
We have been some of the worst in the NFL.
At one point, other than Josh Cribbs, at one point we were having Jim Leonard return punts, and the only thing his job was to do was to fair catch the punt because we couldn't trust anybody to actually catch the damn punt. And those aren't my words. Those are Mike Pettine's words.
And who is...
Might not have said them publicly, but they were said to me.
Who was handling the returns last year? I know that, you know, over the years, we have tried a number of different solutions for the return game, and none of it's worked. So they went out and they said, we're going to spend money. We're going to allocate, you know, our assets to not only a kicker, which, Ken and I, as an aside, how many times do we think we'll see Cade York on Friday?
Many.
72 times.
Many.
We're going to be settling for field goals everywhere.
First and 10 at the Jaguars 21, take a knee?
Kick it.
On purpose.
But don't center it. You got to go to the left or go to the right.
You do a direct snap to, let's say, John Kelly. He goes to the left and slides, and then you're going to kick a field goal.
But this, in terms of significance of a loss, I've seen people say, well, now they have to go get Will Fuller. Well, wait a second. That's not why you brought in Jakeem Grant. Yes, he was going to be at times.
We just look at the list of the biggest names, best wide receivers, so we say Will Fuller.
Well, fine. I mean, you know, if you're asking me, I do think they need another guy. I don't know if Will Fuller's the guy. Zach Jackson talked about it in an afternoon show yesterday that nobody.
What did that bastard have to say about him?
Nobody's going after Will Fuller. There's a reason. There's plenty of tape on Will Fuller. The fact that no teams in the NFL are going after him at this point should be telling. But Jakeem Grant, I do think this is going to be a bit of a loss, especially knowing you're not going to have, not knowing how many games you're going to have.
Somebody tweeted
your starting
at me,
quarterback.
And somebody tweeted at me and said it was karma, and I'm like,
well, what does that mean in this case?
Because I said this is awful. Now I've never met Jakeem Grant. I've only heard wonderful things about Jakeem Grant. It was so sad yesterday. I had Dolphins fans tweeting in my general direction, going, "That's sad. He's a really great guy." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Ah, oh, boy." And I know it's the internet, and you ever read something so crazy, you're going, I can't let this go. Because I said, awful, absolutely awful. And Sammy522, who, for all I know, is a bot. Karma righting wrongs towards the owner's arrogance. Too bad for Jakeem. Wishing him a full and speedy recovery. You can't wish him well once you said it was karma.
So wait, he only got injured because of moves that other people made?
Since when has karma become I've heard of such a thing as bad juju, like you don't want to do that or it'll come back on you. But the karma thing, karma's supposed to be paying it forward. Karma's supposed to be a good thing, right? I didn't take any ayahuasca, so I don't know, but isn't karma supposed to be a good thing? Boy, that was a terrible joke. I'm sorry. In karma supposed to be
topical.
Something you do that's good, and then good things are supposed to happen to you. It's not where something bad happened to you, so you exact some revenge.
So wait, I don't understand why every Browns player needs to be wearing all sorts of protective gear because they went after Watson.
It's not
they're
karma.
All in jeopardy right now.
But again, I have to go back to the definition of, hold on.
That is silly.
I got to go back to the definition of karma because it's something that's so crazy. Now I can't get it out of my head. And so I have to define it. Karma is supposed to be a good thing. In Hinduism, the sum of a person's actions in this and previous states of existence viewed as deciding their fate in future existences. That doesn't say anything about good.
No, but I...
But why would Jakeem Grant be the subject to karma because of the Haslams?
Mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know. Again,
that's
I don't know that it works like that. So guys are just going to start dropping like flies because they went after Deshaun Watson, something 13 other teams that we know of did?
Yeah, you do like the Panthers and everybody else, do they start losing players just for the implication?
The Falcons.
That's a form of, like I thought it, isn't that Catholicism? Isn't that what you learned in CCD over there?
It's been a while. I'm supposed to go back.
Well, you will be going back now, buddy boy.
That's basically a walking distance, so now there's no getting out of it.
You have to go back to CCD? You didn't learn enough the first time?
I got to do a lot of things. Got to learn how to swim.
As a non-Catholic, CCD night was always a lonely night for me. Go over to my buddy's Long's house. Oh, that's right. They're at CCD. Well, bye-bye.
I did get meals out of it. I remember going to different families.
I sat and played video games and listened to Tom Likas until my friends got home. AJ and Medina, let's get to Jimmy G. Hello, AJ.
Ken, Anthony, good morning. Listen, I had to fight to get onto this call, man. And maybe this is just a blasphemous take, but I fully understand that Deshaun Watson is going to get paid a lot of money. Right. However, say you go get Jimmy Garoppolo and things go really well. He does what he did with the 49ers last year. You go to the AFC Championship game. You don't go to the big game, but you get to the AFC Championship game. The farthest you've been in a really, really long time. In my opinion, I think you would be crazy not to kick the tires a little bit on possibly keeping Jimmy Garoppolo. I get Deshaun Watson's contract is huge and what you gave up for him. However, if this guy takes you that far, Deshaun hasn't played football in 2 years at this point, if Goodell gets what he wants with a full-year suspension. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Deshaun will be fine when he comes back. Deshaun will be fine. At that point, 2 years without playing football is a very long time. And if you have a guy that gives you immediate success, you at least have to have a competition at that point, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's no,
I mean, I don't think you can let it go. I get you gave up a lot. But
AJ, I'm not trying to knock you here. But
they will wish him well.
How old
they
are
will
you?
Help pack his bags, and they will say goodbye.
Go ahead.
I guess I understand that. It's a business, right? Yeah. I know they'll pack his bags, wish him goodbye, but you wouldn't at least want that quarterback in your room, especially if, like we talked about, like Lombardi was talking about, they'd probably restructure the contract before he came here.
Better
if you can get him for a couple years, I mean,
better
wouldn't
question.
That be...
Better question. How long have you listened to this show?
For 3 years.
3 years. Okay, thank you. So over the last how many months, and especially last week when I had to read in a finding here, I had to read some pretty strong wordage about the quarterback that they've invested in. I mean, you know, just by what I've had to read here, AJ, a guy ain't going anywhere. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo could go 17-0 and win the Super Bowl, and I still think they're going to say bye. I really do.
I get that. And I agree. At the end of the day, I do agree. I think they will wish him goodbye. I just, in my opinion, it's just hard at that point when you have that success. And I get the player that Deshaun is. Listen, I'm one of the probably the minority that actually is pleased we got him at this point. I know there's a lot of people that have the hit list out now. I get that. But, you know, I'm pleased we have him. Obviously, he's a phenomenal talent, a generational talent, in my opinion. But, you know, I just think it scares me with soft tissue injuries, things of that nature, with not being on a football field for 2 years, especially the caliber player he is, like moving a lot and running and getting hit. It just scares me because then you're in a big problem if you get suspended a year, and then you got Jacoby Brissett as your backup next year, and he gets hurt.
If he were to come back, AJ, and thank you very much for the call, because we asked Michael Lombardi about going after Jimmy Garoppolo. Michael Lombardi thought it was a good idea, and we asked him a couple of more questions about that, and we'll get to those here in a second. It's not reached the sunk cost fallacy where if he were out there and like whenever Deshaun Watson goes out there and he just becomes garbage for a long period of time, and we're still making this argument based on money, what's money? But you've made this huge investment monetarily. You've made this huge investment with your own integrity, because you're betting on Deshaun Watson that he will play well enough where there will obviously be detractors, but there will be a difference. And that your fan base will be satisfied on the winning. You will be satisfied on the winning. You did a desperate move and it paid off. We are only in the beginning of this. And with the NFL and their decision coming, we're really only in the beginning of this. And I think that's what's so frustrating, is that fans want to talk football and speak about, I mean, I can't even really have the conversation how to play the guy on Friday, and it's Wednesday. And I still can't have a conversation of, do we play Deshaun? How much do we play Deshaun? Because I don't know if he's even going to be allowed to play. If it's indefinite, Lima, you said he's not even allowed to play in the preseason.
They would yank him off the field the minute that would happen.
So I have this big conversation to have about the preseason, and I can't have it. So it's frustrating from a fan's point of view. But, yeah, I'm in favor of going out and getting him, getting Jimmy Garoppolo. I just know it's a moot point after the season.
Well, it would
Deshaun
be,
Watson will play for the football team.
And what's amazing, I mean, they're few and far between in terms of comparisons to a situation like this. But Michael Vick, if we're talking about rust and will a guy ever get back to his form, and I think Deshaun Watson's more talented than Michael Vick, and Vick was really talented. Michael Vick played in 2006. Then he goes to the penitentiary. He is gone for 2007, 2008. He comes back in 2009. Donovan McNabb was the starting quarterback, and Michael Vick played one game. He started one game that year. And then in 2010, he was the full-time starter. He went 8-3 as a starter and put up some of the best numbers he's had in his career. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that talent just leaves you. And it's not like Deshaun Watson's got all the litany of the injuries and the aches and the
he had an ACL.
Yeah, but he did. But not like somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, no, because
I mean, he's going to not have taken a hit for all those years.
If I hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy Garoppolo's been banged up. The injuries have been there. The nagging injuries have been there. Now you have the shoulder injury. I'm sorry. I just made too much of an investment with Deshaun Watson. I can't go in a different direction. But I'm willing to, yeah. I think that now the NFL is going to throw the book at Deshaun Watson. And to me, it's all systems go to go out and get Jimmy Garoppolo. It's just money. It's a $25 million cap hit now, right? Mike Lombardi said that he believes he'll rework that contract. Go get Jimmy Garoppolo. If it's for 12 games, go get Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't care. I don't care. We all know the business of this. They're all supposed to be big boys. They're all supposed to be big. I mean, think. I could say, well, the fans are going to want this. The fans are going to want that. That's not my job to take care of it in the locker room. That's Kevin Stefanski's job. That's the coaching staff. That's the veterans' job. Not my job. I want quarterbacks that are going to help me win. I watched enough of Jacoby Brissett to know that Yeah, I'd rather kick the tires on Jimmy Garoppolo. No offense to Jacoby Brissett. If we're saying the guy is the best backup, like Sam Monson did with us earlier this week, what you're saying is that half the people are not going to be able to stand him when he actually starts. That's what good backups are. They're backups, and they might be the best backups, but that means that people are going to hate it when they start. Jimmy Garoppolo, some people might hate it when they start. Not that many. And it's all honesty. And if he plays well, then he creates a market for himself somewhere else. So it's a win. Go after Jimmy Garoppolo. And I don't think you have to give up much, including you don't have to give up Kareem Hunt to go get Jimmy Garoppolo. All that and around the AFC North coming up at 9.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On the Fan. Around the AFC North coming up in just moments, 9 o'clock. Make sure you're listening, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com. Real quick, and I mean 1 minute. There's people saying that this season of Hard Knocks is must watch. You cannot miss Hard Knocks. And anymore, I look at it and go, it's well produced, it's well shot, it's NFL Films, they do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using the Aidan Hutchinson singing Billie Jean on Hard Knocks
as
a reason. But I'm thinking, I'm just going to see everything I need to see on social media the next day. I have not, since the Browns were on, how long ago were the Browns on? Baker Mayfield's rookie year, right? 4 years ago. Five years ago. I've had no need to watch Hard Knocks. Zero need.
Well, you know how I feel about it.
To watch the episodes live. I know how you feel about it, but...
Yes, it's NFL. It's something football that you can get excited about just because we're all starved. It's the football desert for so long without real football that this seems like it's real football. But in the end, it's just a bunch of camp stories about a bunch of guys that aren't going to make the team.
Yeah.
And then some speeches, and that's what you're seeing. And really, what I've noticed is just over time, every season looks identical to the season before it. So it doesn't even matter which team is on Hard Knocks. They don't do a really good job of differentiating the personalities from year to year. It's just this. It's almost the same storylines every year, with just different players, different colors, different uniforms, different coaches.
Yes. And now it's the stuff, like the entertaining stuff, will all be on social media. The big clips. What if Dan Campbell made a D's, you know what's? I can't say because the boss is walking around. He hates it when we say that word.
Uh-huh.
He made one of those jokes. I saw it on Twitter. Everything else I don't need to see. I'm sure it's well shot. I'm not saying it's not entertaining. Just for us, for whatever reason, for you and I, I'm like, I have no reason. I don't need to see it live. When the Browns are back on it again, I'll watch it live.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, here we are.
Just one last thing.
Yeah.
Like, I just pulled up best seasons ever of Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
One list has the Browns number one. I thought the season was kind of boring.
I thought it was a team that
I care about. So if I didn't care for the season that's supposedly number one, this episode or this entire series is not for me.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, but it may very well not be for you, because I watched basically every series or every season. And then once I got past the Browns, I was like, well, I'm free to do other things now during the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to watch Hard Knocks anymore. 9 o'clock around the AFC North. I asked Michael Lombardi if we needed to give away Kareem Hunt. He said no for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, he said he didn't even have to.
Eric Wright, the former Cleveland Brown, he asked, he goes, would you give up Kareem Hunt for Jimmy Garoppolo? I said, you don't need to give up Kareem Hunt for Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy's an expensive quarterback right now. Now I know he might rework his contract for you. He's an expensive quarterback right now. You're the team that can afford him. According to all the reports and all the research, you're the team that can afford his contract in a trade. They don't want him to go to Seattle, which is something that Michael Lombardi highlighted specifically in our interview. Hear that, 92.3thefan.com. They don't want him going to Seattle, because he could very well just go to Seattle when he becomes a free agent. You're the team, unless something terrible happens over this weekend with somebody else, you're the team that makes sense for him and makes sense for San Francisco to trade. And because his cost is so prohibitive, and he needs weapons, I don't need to give up Kareem Hunt.
No, I don't know why people are offering him up in that situation. Like I did say, if a team is starved for running back, suffered an injury in camp, and they're expecting to contend, and maybe they're in the NFC, Like, would I trade Kareem Hunt if I could get a third rounder, which I don't expect to? Yeah, sorry, I am trading him for a third rounder. They need to start. They've given up the first round picks. They do need to get something back, especially because you're going to lose him at the end of the year for nothing.
Yeah, but I still need Jimmy Garoppolo's a guy who, like, I would expect if Deshaun Watson's able to play, and I just needed a position that bad on defense or whatever, or I need like someone who's willing to give you a second round pick or something for Kareem Hunt, then fine, because I would expect Deshaun Watson to make everybody else better. But I think Garoppolo's right there in that weird purgatory where we don't know how many guys he makes better and we don't know how many guys make him better. I think that's a fair conversation to have. And so you would think, well, you need Kareem Hunt for this year to help Jimmy Garoppolo, or you're just cutting off your nose to spite your face. Eddie and Westlake, you're next up on the Fan. Eddie.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, guys, look, I'm all about getting Garoppolo just to upgrade my quarterback room. I'd rather have, you know, Brissett and Jimmy G and Brissett and Dobbs. And if Deshaun is able to come back this year, I'd rather have Deshaun, Jimmy G, and Brissett over Dobbs. You know what I mean? It just makes too much sense. The thing about it is you just have to temper your expectations. I mean, the thing about the Jimmy G, he very similar to the quarterback that was here. He needs everything to be good. The difference is he's able to overcome. He's going to turn the ball over. He's going to do some of the same things. But then he's bounced back and can take his team to victories. You know what I mean? See, I'm all for somebody that, you know, maybe is trying too hard, but then they could come bring it together and still win. I mean, he's a proven winner. So that's the difference. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I want to go get him, because the guy can win. You know, even after throwing picks and playing bad like three quarters of a game, some kind of way he figures it out. You know what I mean? But he does need things around him to be perfect. Just like the other guy we just had.
Yeah, I get worried all the time, Eddie. Like earlier this week, I got worried, or I should say last week, I got all worried because I knew that if you get Jimmy G and you play well, people are going to want to keep Jimmy G, kind of like the last call we took last segment, right? But the problem is that I'm worried about what the fans think. I need to be worried about what the Browns think. Well, they're already moving on, and it could be a mistake. They're already moving on to Trey Lance in San Francisco. There'd be no problem for us to just move on to Deshaun Watson here in Cleveland.
But I don't think we have to worry about that, though, guys, because at the end of the day, like I prefaced it before, he needs things around him to be perfect. Things are not going to be perfect. We just talked about it. Mm-hmm. At the end of this year, Hunt's going to be gone. So it'll be somebody new in there. They might have to tap one of these offensive linemen on the shoulder. I know we re-up with you, Batonio, but hey, you fell off a little bit. We're going to have to either rework this contract or we're going to draft.
Wait a minute, Eddie, you're just assuming he's going to fall off here. He didn't fall off yet.
What I'm saying is we're $20 million over the cap projected for next year. Somebody going to get some shoulder taps. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to tap some guys on the shoulder. They're either going to want to redo their deal or they're going to let them go. I'm just telling you, it's just the reality of having a quarterback that makes that elite quarterback that makes, you know, $45, $50 million on the cap.
Yep.
It's just going to happen. Every team has to go through it. They just had to go through it in Kansas City with Tyreek Hill, a top five wide receiver.
I dig
it's
what you're happen. Saying. Eddie, I honestly know we always disagree. I agree with you completely on this. And thank you very much for the call. Coming up in a bit, which one's better? We've asked which is worse. Which one's better? What is it? You're going to have to find out at 9:20. Up next, we go around the AFC North, live on the Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.